have powers! Yeah, baby!
Hey, welcome to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 121, and this week we're talking Ninja Turtles, we're talking Star Wars Rebels, and we're talking the Star Wars box office. I'm Brian.
Star Wars box office?
Justice League box office. Thank you. We can talk the Star Wars
and
box
Incredibles
office, too. And we'll talk about the Incredibles 2 trailer. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
What's up, man?
Not much.
I know it's you because I can see your name tag.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Incredibles trailer first.
If you didn't know it was me, why would I be here?
I'm all about letting strangers into my house lately.
Oh, so. Well.
Anyway. Yes. So, yeah. All right.
I'll enjoy those times when I walk in. Who?
Who? What? Huh? All right, so the Incredibles 2
Randy
trailer.
Randy Quaid here?
Oh, God, because he's hiding out from the extra. My house, did you know my house is a non-extradition treaty with the United States?
Did you know that he's doing an autograph session with official picks?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he's signing, like, you can pay for it, and he's signing it in a room somewhere in Canada,
yeah.
Probably, but he's signing autographs.
Awesome.
I didn't even look how much they were, but I'm like, a lot of vacation people would be beneficial, you know.
Yeah,
that autograph,
that would be cool.
Probably like $300 something, like the Harrison Ford ones.
Yeah, no, probably more because he's crazy.
Well, yeah,
you know,
gotta pay for those legal fees.
Yeah, well, if he wants to come back to America, he does. But yeah, oh, Randy. All right, so it's just a real brief teaser.
Yeah,
you know, it opens with Jack. Chasing around the laser eye beams, which was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Mr. Incredible was holding him up and the, you have powers. And then
the sneeze.
Yeah. Just burns his hair off. So from what I understand, Incredibles 2 is going to pick up just a couple minutes after Incredibles ended.
That's what it looks like.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like, I loved how Toy Story did it, how it was actually, you know, it was about 10 years in between
right.
each movie. Or no, like 5 or 6 years in between
right.
each movie. I think it was 10 years from the first one to the last one.
Yeah.
But it actually, like, that's
Andy
the amount.
Was like 9 in the first one and 19
in
the
last
one.
Yeah.
In the last one, yeah.
But I like how that's the amount of time that had passed. So
sure.
he was actually
yeah.
that age, which was really cool. I still don't understand why Andy didn't give his little brother the presents, but whatever.
Little brother.
Or little sister. His
little sister.
Yeah. The toys. He just gave it to some random kid.
Well, because she was older,
I'm kidding. Anyway. The Incredibles is my favorite Pixar movie.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for Incredibles 2.
I think Incredibles and Wall-E are equal.
Okay. I really like Wall-E.
Yeah.
I like Up probably as my second favorite.
Yeah. I always forget about
Or Ratatouille. Like, Ratatouille's
fun.
It's a solid one.
Yeah. The Toy Story ones are fun.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of them in a while.
Yeah.
I think Wall-E is the most recent one I watched in that, but yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
I mean, in my personal collection, I have Wall-E and Incredibles.
Is that it?
Yeah, on the Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any of the other Pixars.
Okay.
As far as I know, she has them. I mean, she has them all, so... But yeah, my personal collection, I, you know, have Incredibles and Wall-E, and I think she bought them for me.
Cool. All righty. But yeah, so that's coming out next year, and it should be good.
Yeah, which was the cool thing is, like, I'm like, that trailer came out of nowhere.
They just dropped it, right?
Coming out next year. I'm like, huh.
And you said something, it was the most...
I seen somewhere that it was the most viewed animated trailer ever.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I imagine.
Oh, excuse me. I imagine there's some pretty, like, heavily watched trailers
for
stuff. So, and people
going
through it.
I mean, just
animated
movies in general. It's like, you know, you think of all the Disney movies and then all the other, like, DreamWorks and stuff like that. But it's like,
Despicable Me,
you know, for it to be the top one at this moment, it's like, there's not much going on in it.
Right. Yeah. It's
so
it's less than a minute long.
Yeah.
So, all right. So yeah, it's cool. That comes out next year. Definitely check it out. We'll definitely talk about it, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. As it gets closer to the date. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new series coming out. The current series is coming to an end. It ended.
It's over.
Okay.
Yeah.
I fell behind, but I think
a couple weeks ago.
I think it's all on Hulu now.
If it's not on Hulu, it's on the Nick app, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's all, well, I don't think the most recent seasons on Hulu, but the past seasons are.
Oh, like everything. Yeah. The whole, that last bit that was the Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
I think it's on Nick app, but I don't think it's on Hulu. And I think maybe the last five of the regular Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
are
available on Nick's app still.
So the last bit of the current one, or the one that just ended, that I saw was the, I watched that whole first season with Seth Green as Leonardo after he replaced Jason Biggs.
Yeah.
And then I just, it kind of fell out because it was really hard to find.
Huh.
Because it wasn't on Hulu for a little bit, and then it came back, and then it was like updating sporadically. Yeah. But it was one of
those
shows.
We watched a lot of them on the Nick app.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, that was nice because the Nick app just pretty much like commercials are Nickelodeon, so it's not anything insane.
Right.
And you know, we were DVRing it for a while, but watching on the Nick app, like I said, commercials, you're sporadic compared to having to fast forward through 2 minutes of Toys R Us commercials.
Yeah.
And that, so.
But no, this one looks good.
Yeah, this one's going to be 2D.
It's 2D art, which is nice. So kind of like the Return to DuckTales or, you know, the Justice League action, that kind of stuff. It's going back away from that 3D computer generated look.
And the story sounds interesting because it's making it where underneath New York City is more of a magical place.
Okay.
Like they're going to encounter, you know, strange things, I guess. Stranger things.
Stranger things in the underneath below New York City. Weird.
Yeah.
It's got a good cast too. I'm trying to pull it up because I didn't put it in the show notes here. But they're all like pretty well known actors and actresses stuff. And Raph is going to be the leader.
Yeah.
So, okay. So it's got, the guy that was John Ralphio in Parks and Rec.
Right.
It's got one of the guys, one of the rappers from, You're the Worst, which is on FX. It's the one with Aya Cash. You don't watch it.
Yeah,
it's really funny.
Say, I haven't.
It's dark, dark humor. It's funny. It's got the guy from Ballers who.
Do you have their names?
Yeah, I mean, I do somewhere. Anyway, and then it's got one of the guys from.
Just click the link in the show.
Omar Miller from Ballers.
Yes.
As Raphael. Ben Schwartz from Parks and Rec as Leonardo. Josh Brenner from Silicon Valley as Donatello.
Okay.
Brandon Michael Smith from You're the Worst as Michelangelo. And then Kat Graham, who was on The Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, as
April. And then Ezra Bauza, B-A-U-Z-A.
Oh, yeah.
Is the voice of Splinter.
Which he plays Tiger Claw.
In the current one.
So it's like, that's cool.
But
that's cool to see, like, them, you know, that he did a good job. I guess.
And I guess Raph is going to be the leader this time out.
Yeah.
Which is interesting that they're kind of shaking that up. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
When I don't think April, I think April's going to be more an adult in this one and not the teenage.
Okay.
April that she wasn't, which was a cool idea to have a teenage April with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And that, but I think this April is going to be a little bit older.
What I like about all these,
because I think they said she's the news reporter at this point.
Cool. What I like about all these, the turtle cartoons and the comics and stuff like that, is it's all this just great big turtle multiverse, right? They've had plenty of episodes where they've crossed over from past incarnations and gotten the previous voice actors and that kind of stuff.
I mean, on this, on the current one that's been on, you know, since 2012, they've had the 1980s turtles show up multiple times.
Yeah.
I can remember one of the previous incarnations, they actually did a movie called Turtles Forever, where it was the
Eastman, Turtles Forever was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Eastman and Laird's, and then the 80s, and then the one that was at that point, like all three of them. And that was cool because, like, Eastman and Laird's Turtles had never been animated up until that point.
Right.
It had just been a comic book. And it's like, it was cool to see them animated and, you know, see how it worked.
And because they were really kind of dark and edgy.
Oh, yeah. Which was awesome. I mean, it's Dark Knight Returns, but, you know.
I really like that, the Turtles Fast Forward one, where they got thrown into the future. Like, that one was pretty cool. The one that led into Fast Forward was a good one.
And I think that's that was, the Turtles Forever.
Yeah, the Turtles Forever. You know, I really enjoyed this most recent one.
Yeah.
So, like, definitely Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when it comes out next year. It just says early 2018. It doesn't have an actual date yet.
I'm sure it'll be after Toy Fair, because I'm sure they'll have new action figures and all that.
Yeah.
To show. Oh, so, yeah. You know.
Well, the character designs are a little different. Like, they're kind of more like the...
I haven't seen anything with the character designs.
They're more kind of... They're angular. They're, like, kind of thinner than they have been. But then the masks or cowls are kind of like what's in the movie.
Okay.
Like,
some of them got the whole
like Michelangelo
covered.
Has the whole head covered and things like that. So it'll definitely be interesting to see. I'm excited to see them, like, in action, in motion.
Yeah.
To really kind of decide, like, if I love it or hate it. But I'm definitely, like, bullish on loving it.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty much open to any of the turtle stuff.
I mean, you're a huge Turtles fan.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, I know people who are bigger Turtles fans than me, but I'm like, you know, I've always enjoyed Turtles.
I have too.
Yeah. So, you know.
Cool. All right.
Excuse me.
I do look forward to what Playmates will do too, because I mean, you know, they've always done a good job.
I mean, this last batch of Turtle toys that they've done over the last few years have been awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got some of the original.
Yeah,
Playmates toys from the 80s version, and it's like those things hold up. They're well-made toys, and, you know, for Playmates, who is not a giant toy company,
right,
it's like they do a damn fine job of, you know, doing them.
Yeah.
And that, you know.
Well, I mean, to that point, like, I think of all the toys I have in my office, the Turtles are the most well-made toys out of all of them. They're the most well-built. They, you know, they don't fall over. You can actually articulate them in a bunch of different ways, and they stand, you know. Whereas, like, the Black Series figures, right? Like,
you have to really work them.
The Marvel Legends, same thing. And, you know, so there's all that.
Well, and it's that thing where I think, like I said, Playmates doesn't have a lot of toy lines. So, you know,
they can focus on quality
control better. Because I think they do... Right now, they're doing Turtles, Ben 10, and Voltron.
Yeah.
And one of their lines.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of that one.
I mean, you know, the Voltron. Did you open the Voltron ones yet? Because you've got a second.
I found a second set. I haven't opened them yet. But I'm like,
curious.
You have the lions.
I do have the lions out.
I mean, you look at how sturdy they are. That it's like, you know, they focus as much on quality as, you know, quantity. I mean,
sure.
Now you can find the lions everywhere.
Everywhere.
So, and that, but, you know, the Turtles line, I think with...
I don't know why they didn't just release the die-cast ones, why they went with that first wave that I have.
I think that was easier.
I guess, but like,
I have the die-cast ones that
they're
came
all peg
out.
Warmers.
They're not,
well,
you know.
It's only one little bit of them that are metal.
Yeah, and they're not that strong. I mean, you know, strong looking as... No. These ones that they put out, the first ones, they're huge.
They're awesome.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, they're cool looking that way. I wish they'd make ones that actually fit the figures.
That would be cool. Those would be pretty big, too.
They would be huge. I mean, it's like the ones that they did when Maddie Collector had the line, and those things were, and I've seen that.
I've only seen the Hunk one.
Yeah.
And it's at Comics
I've
to Games.
I've seen them all at one point. Somebody, I think... When did I see them? Oh, I went to a place when we were on vacation last week. There's a place up in Ontario, Ohio called Toy Hunters.
All right.
And they had the full set.
Shout out to Toy Hunters.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But they had, I mean, they had the full set of the Maddie Collector ones.
Oh, really?
And there was, what was his name? Sven?
Yeah.
Shiro, Sven. The only way you could get that figure is if you ordered the whole set. So they had that, and they were selling it as one big thing, and it was like, I want to say it was like $600-$700.
Worth it.
And I'm like, eh, I don't have that money.
I don't have that right now.
Sorry.
Can I do a layaway and pay you a little bit each month?
No, I got one of the Star Wars figures off the list.
Oh, so one of the vintage ones.
Yeah, one of the original Kenner ones.
That Yoda on the card?
No, Yoda on the card is going to be an expensive one, but of the loose ones, I'm down to like maybe 6 or 7 now.
Nice.
So,
very cool.
I don't get to see it until either my birthday or Christmas, but you know.
Your birthday or Christmas, both of which are soon.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's talk about Justice League for a minute.
Didn't we do that last week?
We reviewed it. All right. So, I'm going to assume enough people have seen this because it's been 2 weeks.
This has been 2 weeks?
Well, it will be when this comes out. By the way, okay, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And happy Black Friday. The scene where he's laying on the ground, he goes, yep, I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
Was my least favorite part of the entire movie.
Yeah.
It's like I almost got up and walked out.
Oh, okay.
But I was enjoying the rest of it so much.
Sure.
Like that scene with Superman that had just happened was so cool that, you know, I could forgive it. But,
right.
But wow. This Variety article talks about how that came up short. $94 million US debut.
Yeah. It happens.
Well, I mean, so they've been in a decline, right? Superman did 116. Batman versus Superman did 166.
Yeah.
And then Suicide Squad did 134. And Wonder Woman only did 103.
Hmm.
But Wonder Woman had such a strong word of mouth. You know, that kind of, it had legs. Yeah, 94. They were saying it was going to be 96. And then it ended up the actuals. It came out at 94 million. Which, this is a movie that easily should have beaten Batman versus Superman for box office, because it's the freaking Justice League.
Do you think it was just because Batman versus Superman?
I do. I think
bad
people
taste
were
in people's
so.
Mouth?
I think people were so let down by Batman versus Superman.
Do you think if Superman would have been in the trailers, that people would have went to see it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think
Superman would have been on the movie posters in the trailers.
Oh yeah.
People probably would have went and seen it just because Superman.
I think we saw pretty much all the highlights of Jason Momoa in the trailer, right?
Except for the lasso scene.
There was the lasso.
The lasso scene.
The lasso. And then the thing that happened in Atlantis was actually shot by James Wan. Did you know that?
I read that somewhere.
So, Bleeding Cool, actually, and I'll put the link in the show notes to that as well, had a great article that broke down who did which part.
Oh, really?
Okay. Because it came from Warner Brothers. Someone leaked it to one of them. And it was interesting. Like, Snyder had a lot more humor in it on his side than you would expect.
Sure.
And Whedon showed a gross misunderstanding of who Batman is.
Well, right. That's why they said the Batgirl's not happening.
Oh, yeah. Batgirl shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, so Aquaman comes out next December, right?
Yeah.
They shouldn't do any more of these movies.
No single stories.
Like, no Flash, no Cyborg. They need to just, if they do
they
one.
They talked about doing a Cyborg movie. See, I don't.
No Shazam.
Feel like I would need a Cyborg movie
no,
at all.
No, I don't feel like we need a Flash movie either. I don't think Ezra Miller's ready to carry a movie by himself.
What would you do with the Flash movie except what they've done with the TV series?
Exactly.
You know.
I would do a Flash, like Cyborg team up. Like you, like,
well, yeah,
you talk
yeah,
about doing like
Titans.
A Teen Titans kind of a thing.
Where you could literally say, like, because there's always the thing
Nightwing.
About. Well, and that's what I was going to say, is you could literally bring in Dick Grayson, who would have been a Robin, and is Nightwing.
Or he's not even Nightwing yet. He's Dick Grayson, who has just, like, been fired from being Robin.
Well,
or
no,
just,
you do
like,
it
he
where he is
back,
older.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little bit older than Flash and Cyborg. He has been Robin in the past, because Batman's been around for 20 years.
True.
He doesn't really get along with Bruce.
Yeah.
That way, Batman can be in the movie, too. And... You know, because Batman should be like a tie, you know, like Superman is.
Yeah.
Those two are the glue.
The connective
of that.
Tissue of
and
the
it's
DCEU.
Like they should be like have it where if Ben Affleck doesn't want to be Batman by the end of the team up movie, the Teen Titans movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Titans. Yeah. Nightwing is Batman.
Yeah.
By the end of that movie.
Yeah.
And it's like. There's where
you phase out
Ben Affleck if that's what he wants to do. I don't think he should do that. I like him as Batman.
I like Ben Affleck as Batman. I don't. Yeah. He just doesn't want to do it. They don't want him to do it because he doesn't want to do it. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I think that hurt the movie because he's been saying for eight. It's been that question for 8 months. And
if he was going to be
back, if he was going to keep coming back or not. And then, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed him as Batman. Yeah. I like him as
Bruce
Wayne. I really
thought he was really good.
I think, you know,
the interaction between him and Jeremy Irons is really good.
Yeah.
Because Jeremy Irons is dry and he's dry. And it's like, you know, when you get them in a room together, it's like they're just bouncing off of each other.
I mean, Jeremy Irons really got Alfred.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't the traditional Alfred.
No, he was the modern butler, the modern Alfred.
He got like the spirit of Alfred down like way more than I think Michael Caine did. Anyway, but I think so if they're going to do Wonder Woman 2, which I would even argue that they probably shouldn't even do that at this point.
I would rather see a Wonder Woman 2, actually.
It should just be on its own. It shouldn't be tied back into this. They should just extricate it from the DCEU and say, this is.
You're just saying to stop the whole thing.
Just stop the whole thing. Wait 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is, and just start over and do it right. Take your time.
You're wasting your money, really. I mean, because then you have to recast everybody.
Well, but they should recast everybody because.
I would not recast Gal Gadot. I would not recast Wonder Woman at all. Gal Gadot is probably the Wonder Woman that everybody needed.
I don't disagree with you.
I mean,
but I'm just saying for the movie going public, right?
Yeah.
Who don't have 30 years of comic book reading behind them, like they don't care who Wonder Woman is necessarily,
right?
But they're going to be confused if you know. Why is Wonder Woman, then they
really don't have touch.
No,
with,
they don't care. I didn't say
they don't
know,
care who plays her.
Yeah. But I think it would be too confusing to be like, well, is this tied to these other movies that weren't very good? I just think they need to clean slate it. I mean, look at what they did with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they didn't even wait 2 years from Amazing Spider-Man 2, and we had
That's because Spider-Man Homecoming. Had a turd.
Well, yeah.
The Amazing Spider-Man duology was worse than Justice League ever could have been.
I agree, but it made a lot of money.
Because people will go see anything with Spider-Man on it, and that's the zombie going public.
But I think DC thought anyone's going to go see anything with Batman in it with this one.
Yeah, you know, no, they won't.
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I've said all along, I felt like they started with just a flawed mythology using Man of Steel as the foundation.
Yeah.
Now, I rewatched Man of Steel over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I liked Justice League. Like, I'm not bashing Justice League. I enjoyed the film. I'm going to go see it again tomorrow night.
Bashing Warner Brothers?
I'm bashing Warner Brothers for sure. But after seeing Justice League, I actually enjoy Man of Steel a little more.
Why?
Just... because I really I really liked Henry Cavill in this one.
Yeah.
This time out, right? And you go back and you watch Man of Steel and you see that he does smile.
Yeah.
As Clark.
Right.
You know?
As Clark.
Right. And it's like, it's just, there's, just in my mind, it's, okay, I can see where the seeds of this version of Superman were planted.
Right.
Batman versus Superman is one of the worst comic book movies ever made.
Oh, it's like somebody threw poop into a fan and it hit the wall.
Well, but it hit the wall in a really pretty way. Because,
I mean, it looks nice, but the story does not look nice.
No, not at all. Right. It's all these just moments. And that's what Justice League,
well, it's
I think.
Same, like, I mean, Zack Snyder can shoot a movie really well. I mean, go back and look at his Dawn of the Dead. It's a beautiful movie. Beautiful
movie.
It's a
piece of crap, though.
I enjoyed that one too. I thought that was a really well done movie too.
Yeah.
And that, but I mean, that's the thing is like watching that and then seeing Man of Steel, it was like, what happened?
You know, we did an episode.
I mean,
episode.
Watchmen looks awesome.
It does. But we did an episode probably a year and a half ago called Stick to the Source Material, Damn It. I don't know if you remember doing
that. Yeah, I remember that.
Like, I don't understand why with Batman versus Superman in Justice League, they didn't go in and pull like a Tower of Babel like story, right?
Oh no! If you were going to do
gone the, like page and verse from,
I wouldn't have done that
or
at all.
Starro or something.
If you would have done, if they would have went and actually looked at comic book stories for a Batman versus Superman, they could have used Public Enemies.
Yeah.
Where they both were like targeted by the government and and had to team up to figure out what the hell was going on.
Or they could have done like John Byrne's Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Where they first, where he first meets Batman with Magpie and all that stuff. You know, I mean, there's plenty of other things that they could have done without them having to like fight.
Well, they didn't need to use the Dark Knight Batman. They didn't need to make Batman, you know, been around for 20 years.
Right.
It's like Batman could have been around for a little less. They didn't need to put Gotham right across the street, right across the river, right across the street.
It's
from
like
Metropolis.
San Francisco and Oakland. It's just across the bay, which was so dumb.
Well, it's the same as, you know, New York City across from New Jersey. Literally, New Jersey. Gotham is New Jersey.
Right. Wow. But
that's more what I thought it was. It's like, you know, it was supposed to be New York City was Metropolis and Gotham was New Jersey.
So I have a question about Northern New Jersey. Right. Is it an East Coast place or is it in Kansas?
In the comic books, and I say this because there was a DC role playing game and somewhere I have the book that was like the book that told you where everything was. Yeah. The East Coast of the United States had Metropolis and Gotham on it. And Gotham, literally, the way they drew the map out, looked like it was in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And Metropolis sat north of New York City.
Okay. You can only... So, it's just...
I don't know. Smallville universe, Metropolis is in Kansas.
Kansas, right?
Right.
But,
which does not make any sense
whatsoever.
Some
of the comics, sometimes it's in Kansas. Like, it's... Yeah. You know, it's just a weird thing. Anyway.
It's the thing where... And it's the problem that runs throughout the continuity and the editors and... You know, the people who control the continuity of this company and of this movie line, make sure you know where everything is before you start doing it.
You know, I definitely think they need to just clean house just from top to bottom. Like, execs need to go. Jeff Johns needs to be sent back to the comic books. And I understand.
Writing them?
Yeah.
Which
writing them.
Doomsday Clock comes out this week.
Great. And I'm excited for it.
I'm looking very forward to seeing,
I've purposely been avoiding spoilers for it.
Yeah, they released those early.
But he's not a movie guy. They need to bring someone in who is not Kevin Feige, but Kevin Feige-like, who understands
movies.
Well,
they lost Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
Because Marvel grabbed him up. Like, I mean, if Jeff Loeb was doing the DC movie universe.
Right.
It'd be ran really tight and really good. I mean, you see how good Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter were.
Yeah. And by the way, Agent Carter, both seasons are back on Hulu.
Nice.
Just FYI there if you guys like that. So I know you haven't watched The Punisher yet.
This episode is brought to you by Hulu.
Anyway.
Now Netflix.
Now Netflix. Well, I know you haven't watched it yet, but Jeff Loeb oversees all of that as well.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know if you remember me saying this. Like, I wasn't super excited about the Punisher series. And
well, a lot of people are saying that.
And I was going to take it slow.
Yeah.
I watched it all in one weekend.
Well, sure, yeah.
And, you know, that's just a testament to that particular story group.
Yeah.
And how well they've been able to, you know, not just understand the characters, but to adapt them correctly for the proper medium. Like, I don't think Punisher works as a movie.
No.
I think Punisher was a fantastic
TV
season.
I think we have three movies that prove that.
Yeah. I think Daredevil didn't work as a movie.
I think we have...
We have three seasons of Daredevil. There's just the one.
Well, we have two movies that prove that. Because Daredevil was in one of the Incredible Hulk movies.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. The same with Thor. I mean, Thor was in an Incredible Hulk movie. There would have been no way that could have worked on TV.
Right.
You know.
I think DC needs to reevaluate... Not just DC, Warner Brothers, just in general, with this particular property. Like, I don't understand how they get Harry Potter so right.
Because they don't own Harry Potter. They don't own Harry Potter. Whatever J.K. Rowling says is what happens.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
J.K. Rowling owns it. Warner Brothers is able to borrow it. They own this, and they can... That's the thing. They own this, and they can't get it right.
Yeah. They can't get out of their own way.
Yeah.
And Joss Whedon is not the answer.
No. Oh, no. Like, no. Age of Ultron proves that.
So.
As well done as Avengers is, Age of Ultron is the flip of that.
Jon Favreau set up the Marvel Universe with the first Iron Man.
Well, sure. Yeah.
All right. Like, I don't feel like Jon Favreau gets enough credit.
Yeah, you said that last week.
And I'm going to keep saying it because he was a producer on Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't involved with all at all with the Age of Ultron.
Well,
it,
and that's
it
pretty
was
much Joss
Whedon
right there.
Left his own devices in being so clever, too clever,
yeah,
that you get a sarcastic Ultron, right? That's the level of misunderstanding of the characters that has been brought into the DCEU.
Yeah.
And they own, like, to your point, they own the freaking characters.
Right. Well, my thing about it is I would keep Zack Snyder around. He shoots a good movie.
Director of photography.
Yeah. Well, like, even as director.
Yeah.
I would let him direct it.
I think he's done with DC. I don't think he's done with
Warner
Brothers.
I wish they would have let him do a Batman movie.
Yeah.
I wish they would have let him do, instead of Man of Steel, it should have been a Batman movie.
Yeah.
So you would have forgot about the Nolan movies. Reintroduce Batman.
Introduce Superman in that movie.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even introduce him like, oh, hey, Superman, what's going on? It would have been Superman's mentioned on the news in a sequence. And Batman would have been like, well, we got to keep an eye on that guy.
You mean like Man of Steel where Wayne Enterprises was the satellite in space that him and Zod, you know, were fighting around. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I don't think Man of Steel was meant to be the foundation.
No, it was meant to be a singular movie.
It was a standalone movie, then all of a sudden, like, no, we're basing it all off of this.
Well, and it wasn't Nolan, like, a producer on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, that would have fit more into the Nolan universe.
But Nolan was already done with, you know, he's like, I'm not doing any more comic
But I wouldn't have, stuff. I would have said, no, Man of Steel wasn't.
No.
Superman Returns could have been more based in a DCEU than that.
I mean, Superman Returns gets a lot of flack, right?
Second best Superman.
Brandon
Routh. No, not second best Superman. Third best Superman. I think Dean Cain was the second best Superman.
Yeah, I was going to say Dean Cain.
Yeah, Christopher Reeve, Dean Cain, and then Brandon Routh and Gerard Christopher tie, even though Gerard Christopher played Superboy.
Yeah.
And then Tom Welling's not even in that count because he was
Superman. Was never Superman. Yeah. So I think if you go back and you look at Superman Returns, the stuff with the kid with Lois, like that didn't work.
Yeah.
I think Kate Bosworth was the completely wrong person to play Lois Lane.
Yeah.
You had a fantastic Superman and Clark Kent and Brandon Routh. You had a fantastic Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah,
Frank LaPaglia as
Langello.
Thank you, Frank Langello as Perry White.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that Lawrence Fishburne was a bad Perry White.
He was good in the first.
He was good in Man of Steel. He was bad in Batman vs. Superman
because they were trying to make him the you know headlines,
and that was never Perry White.
Yeah,
so
I mean it was, but it wasn't
right. Yeah. Not like that. It wasn't that caricaturish. Right. But no, I think they just need to go back to just let's just keep it standalone for a little bit and let's actually plan something out, and then in a couple years let's cast a good Batman who's not named Jake Gyllenhaal. You've heard that, right?
No.
The Matt Reeves one, the rumor is it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh jeez.
I didn't realize Batman was 5'5".
Jeez.
Like I have nothing wrong with Jake Gyllenhaal as an actor, right?
Who could play Batman right now?
I don't know.
I do.
Who?
The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, Armie Hammer. Yeah,
Armie
absolutely.
Hammer.
Because he was supposed to play him in the George Miller.
Armie Hammer should have been cast as Batman.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I agree. I love Armie Hammer.
Yeah.
He was so good in Man vs. Uncle. And he had a great chemistry with Henry Cavill.
Oh, Man from Uncle?
The Man from Uncle.
Yeah.
And Versus. I've got Versus on the
You
brain.
Got Versus on the mic?
Versus on
the
brain.
He was good in Lone Ranger. Even though it was a Johnny Depp movie, he was good as the Lone Ranger.
He was a good Lone Ranger in a very bad movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that good.
No. It's. I actually turned it off.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Lone Ranger.
I called it Pirates of the Desert.
There you go.
So, you know, I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal, he's a fine actor. I liked him in Nightcrawler.
Jake Gyllenhaal would do better as the Penguin or as the Joker. He's more the villain.
Yeah,
the villain of the story.
He has those thin villainous lips.
Right.
You know.
No, just, I mean, yeah. You've seen Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he'd be an awesome Batman villain.
Yeah, he, Hush.
He would have been
he'd
a good
be a great
Joker.
Hush. Yeah, he would be a good Joker.
That's the other one where I'm like, yeah, it parts of what you say make sense, but parts I would keep.
Okay.
It's one of those things where I would go in like a doctor and cut the cancer out.
I don't know. I think there's too much cancer there.
Well, you can still save some of it.
I think you just have to put the dog down.
Yeah, I don't know. So. I like Jason Momoa as Aquaman. I thought that was a cool way to do him.
I think I definitely like the way they did him.
Yeah.
I don't think Jason Momoa is a good enough actor.
Yeah.
He's Conan, you know, Khal Drogo, where he grunts a lot and doesn't have to say a whole lot.
Yeah.
That's where he can be physical. That's where he excels, right? But if he has to carry a movie with like dialogue, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of hoping like Atlantis or Aquaman, you know, it's going to be more of him just fighting and less of him,
yeah,
you know, talking. Now, like you had said, though, the scene with him with the lasso, sitting on the lasso,
yeah,
he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And you know, credit where it's due.
Right.
But as the movie went on and he talked more and more, it's like I don't know, the
there wasn't
the
a lot
shine
of talking
was coming off.
From
there
him,
was.
Though.
Well,
you know.
But
he was more the muscle.
Yeah.
It's literally when we were sitting there, you know, we were sitting in different areas of the theater. Yeah. But while we were sitting there before the movie started, it was a picture of the five of them on the screen. And I literally went down the line and I pointed out who was who.
Yeah.
And I went, Aquaman's the Hulk.
Yeah.
I literally did the Avengers. Aquaman's the Hulk. Wonder Woman's Captain America. Batman was Iron Man. The Flash was... oh, damn. Now I forgot who
was
the Flash
was.
Is
he Hawkeye? Because he's
no,
the heart of the team.
No. Cyborg was Hawkeye.
Okay. But
the Flash... Well, no, because I said Batman was two of them.
Oh.
So who... Oh, Batman's Iron Man and Thor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was just like, you know, because he's got everything going
right,
on.
Right, right.
And then I think I said Flash was Black Widow.
Okay.
And a Cyborg was Hawkeye. And it turned out that was the movie.
I don't think they had a Black Widow.
And I said, like, you know, Steppenwolf was Loki.
Steppenwolf was Ultron.
No, he was Loki. He was literally trying to get boxes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he wore an awesome crown.
So. But yeah, you know,
Steppenwolf was one of the better things in that movie.
The CG,
except
of
when
him
they got up on
with,
his face, and well, it was like, wait, what's wrong with his face?
So what they should have done, because they didn't have time to finish that CG,
right,
is they should have just covered his mouth.
Yeah,
because when he would talk, only his bottom lip would move. And
right,
the top
well,
lip wouldn't, and he didn't make
my
any,
thing was they should have referenced back to Superpowers and put the goatee on him.
Yeah, there you go.
And then it would have been like, oh, he's a bad guy for sure. He's got a goatee.
He's from the Mirror Universe. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, but you know, all this stuff. Like, I had fun with this movie.
Yeah,
I'm going to see it for a second time this week. It was.
I will not go see it for a second time.
I have a bunch
I will
of
buy it.
Yeah.
Just because I enjoyed it enough that I'll buy
it. Sure.
I will make somebody else buy it for me, because I've done. there's been superhero movies where they were so bad that I was like, I'm putting that on a Christmas list.
I don't want to spend my own money to watch that. But
I think Fantastic Four was the worst movie that I bought myself, and it was because it was so cheap on Blu-ray.
The Josh Trank one?
Yeah, it was the week it came out. It was the Blu-ray was $17.99.
Yeah,
and then I got an employee discount on top of it, so I got 10% off of that. And I'm like, I pay that much for a movie ticket. I'm like, I may as well just buy this and watch it. And it sat there for 2 months because
you didn't
see
that one in the theater.
No, I avoided it. You sold that as not go see.
I went that Brian and I went that Thursday night,
and we
both hated it. And,
oh God,
you know,
yeah,
it was not good.
Yeah, and I've walked out of movies where I've been like, well, why did I go see that?
That was definitely one of them. Justice League was not that. So, like, I understand the critic ratings for this movie. I really do, and I'm not being an apologist for it by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm not apologizing for enjoying a movie because it hit the right marks with me.
Like, okay, so next month we're going to do our best of, you know, like we do every December, right? Just spoiler alert right now. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword is in my top five movies of the year.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's not a great movie.
Is that supposed to be coming on HBO soon? I think it is.
Just before the end of the year.
Oh, of course.
But
hopefully I find it on Black Friday.
Anyway, like, I've probably watched that movie 10 times.
It doesn't look bad.
It's the best use of Excalibur ever.
And my thing about it is that's, what's his name? Guy Ritchie, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he did, Guy Ritchie's been hitting a lot of the either remakes or redo of characters.
Well, because he did
The
Man from
Sherlock
Uncle.
I enjoyed Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Man from Uncle. So I'm like, I'll probably enjoy this
too. Never saw the second Sherlock Holmes.
Not as good as the first one, I don't think.
And mainly because I thought the first one was just okay. Yeah, I like Jude Law as Watson. I didn't care for Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock. Anyway, but I think if you're listening to this and you haven't seen Justice League, it is well worth seeing on a big screen.
Just go on like a Tuesday. They do the $5 Tuesdays.
Whatever.
If you're thinking like money wise, if you want to go see it or not, go see it on a $5 Tuesday. You're not going to be disappointed.
Right.
Your $5 will be well spent. If you don't want to go see it at night and spend $15 to $1,000, since it seems like some movie theaters want to gouge you now, don't go see it.
Or if you're like me and you have 7 free movie passes to the Regal based on the points that you use, like, you know,
if you got a free pass, I'd say go see it for sure.
Today.
We've seen it on a free pass, and I'm like, I wasn't disappointed. Batman versus Superman, I seen on a free pass. I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't happy.
So we saw that one together, and we all sat in the row together with the, you know, the Cincinnati comic book elite, if you will.
Pretty much. Everybody associated with Queen City Comics was sitting in a row.
And everybody who walked out of that movie looked like Charlie Brown. With the shoulders slumped over, kind of looking at the ground like,
we lost the baseball game.
Happened.
We just lost the baseball game.
It was what just happened. Now, most of the guys were at this one again.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a much more positive vibe.
Right, sure.
It was still, you know, I mean, still Bob was being Bob. Bob wanted to see Starro.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
You know,
I wanted to see Darkseid.
I guess he was in one of the scenes that they cut.
Maybe he was.
So,
and that's why I said I'll buy the Blu-ray just because there's all that.
So, I don't know if you've seen this other thing that's going on. And we'll finish up here because we have talked about this a lot the last 2 weeks.
Well, it's been revelation.
There's a petition going now to show the Zack Snyder version.
Oh, like the
Zack Snyder
cut.
And it's like, what is wrong with these fans? They did nothing but bitch about Zack Snyder for the last year and a half.
And see, I don't think I ever like really like, you know.
No, I mean,
for me, it was one of those things where it's like, you know, what control does he have, and what control does Warner Brothers screw him over with?
Well, I think we saw the control with Warner Brothers at this point.
And it's one of those things where, like I've always said, Zack Snyder can shoot a movie. I mean, Sucker Punch is not that good. But
it
looks awesome.
It looks so cool. It's an awful movie.
I would sit there and watch it just to watch all the scenery.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about just the girls movie. But, I mean, I literally love the scene where the dragon's chasing the bomber.
Yeah.
And it's like, why aren't you doing more fantasy-type movies in that? It's like, you know, and I'm like, that's the thing. It's like, Zack Snyder is an awesome director. But I think he gets trapped in this Warner Brothers universe again, and he's just going to, you know, fall over.
Yeah. I want to see Zack Snyder do a dragon movie.
Yeah.
Like, a movie about dragons.
Yeah.
Like, Reign of Fire type movie.
Sure, yeah.
But anyway. All right.
Ooh, there's a remake that's waiting to happen.
Hell yeah. Or is it, like, a sequel?
Matthew McConaughey's still young enough, he could play his character again.
He did. Spoiler.
Damn it. I seen that for free, too.
Christian Bale could come back.
He died too.
All right. Well, so yeah, it's a disappointment no matter how you shake it, right?
Right.
I think more people should have gone to see it, honestly.
Yeah.
I understand why people didn't go see it. You know, fool me once.
Because they went
to
see
shame
Thor
on you,
again.
Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, they didn't though. Thor only made $21 million this weekend.
Yeah.
The Wonder with Owen Wilson and Julia Roberts, that one made $28 million. It's just people didn't go see this movie.
Wow.
It's not like they went and saw something else. They stayed home. And or I don't think they stayed home.
It's the thing that we've talked about. And, you know, we've talked about it off air a lot more. The downturn's starting to happen.
No, because Spider-Man Homecoming made more than the last three Spider-Man movies. Wonder Woman made almost $800 million. Thor made more in the first 3 weeks than any of the other. You know, Logan made $600 million, which was more than any of the Wolverine.
Just the turnoff.
It was the fact that DC has put out such poor
Warner Brothers, not DC.
Warner Brothers has put out such poor quality
in this
Justice League universe of movies.
So what you're saying is J.K. Rowling should be running the
maybe
DC.
I don't know what the answer is. I know the answer is not Jim Lee in the answer is not Dan Didio. The answer is not Jeff Johns. The answer is not Diane Nelson at this point.
Yeah.
Because they need to exert some control as a brand as well within Warner Brothers. Like, they obviously have no clout.
Right.
Or else we don't get
Warner Brothers
movies.
Is just riding the train of we've got Superman, we've got Batman, we've got Wonder Woman.
So you look at Batman versus Superman, third act, awful. Suicide Squad, third act, awful. Wonder Woman, third act, awful. Justice League, third act, awful.
Because Warner Brothers came in and
whatever executive messed over
that branch
but
of the, movies is like that's the person that should be fired.
In my opinion, the third act of Wonder Woman is so bad, it's what makes me not like the movie.
The Ares fight?
Not just the Ares fight, just everything leading up to it. Like, from the minute they walk into the castle and she has the sword sticking out of the back of her dress, it's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I understand I'm in the vast minority of people who did not care for Wonder Woman.
I could see that part. But, like, the thing, like, the Ares thing was just ridiculous to me. Like,
yeah, and then Lupin would not be the god of war. He is too good of a werewolf to let that go. All right. Let's talk about something we want to talk
about.
Poor
David. What's his name? David Thewlis or something?
I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's a weird British name.
You know what I enjoy him in the most? Was that him? No, that wasn't him. That was Faramir. Van Helsing.
Yeah.
That was Faramir, wasn't it? Yeah. Never mind.
Anyway, all right.
What I enjoy him in the most is Lupin.
I enjoy him the most in the one thing I've seen him in, Harry Potter. All right. So Star Wars Rebels season 4 just wrapped the first half of the season last week.
How are you going to tease us with hour-long episodes and then the last episode's only going to be a half hour?
Well, because they're going to tease us with the second half of that episode when we come back. All right, so they burned through 9 episodes in 4 weeks.
Yeah?
I mean,
so it's going to be done by February.
Maybe. I don't know. But, like, this has been the first time that they've gone a stretch of 9 episodes without some crap filler droid episode.
Yeah?
You know, they are all in for the end of this thing.
Well, they've got to kill Kanan.
Well,
They've gotta get Ezra to the dark side so he can become Snoke.
Well, he's gotta get with Sabine first so they can be Rey's parents.
No.
Anyway.
That happens in The Last Jedi. Rey walks in and Snoke goes, "Daughter," and she goes, "No."
Rey walks in and he hands her the darksaber that he got back from Mandalore.
There you go.
Anyway, all right, so this season starts out on a super high note with the Heroes of Mandalore.
Yeah.
Right?
Which we talked about.
We had the return of Bo-Katan. We had the Darksaber. We had Sabine vacating leadership to Bo-Katan. It was just this great thing. And then we pop into In the Name of the Rebellion, Part 1 and 2, where we get the Saw Gerrera
story. It's pretty much wrapping up Saw Gerrera in the animated universe and
was,
branching him to the Rogue One.
They firmly deposited him on Jedha.
Yeah. We knew where he was going at the end of that episode.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a great one because it got everyone thinking, is Mon Mothma right? Are we doing enough? You know, is it really the way we fight that matters, or is it the outcome of how we fight?
Well, and the idea of this group of Rebellion needs to get back to Lothal.
Yes.
This was pushing that, you know, Ezra's been saying it, but like this was what pushed it, yeah. I think, to the edge.
This was, hey, we're going back.
Yeah.
Which then leads into the Occupation episode and then the Defender, or Flight of the Defender, sorry, where they do get back to Lothal.
Yeah.
Which was great because they brought in some characters from previous seasons to smuggle them on.
Visago.
Yeah. Visago's great.
Yeah.
Almost as good as Hondo.
Yep.
I love Hondo. Mainly because whenever I hear Hondo speak, because it's Jim Cummings,
right.
I just hear Winnie the Pooh.
Right. Well, he plays, what, Tigger and Eeyore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well. But I always hear Willie. Like,
Does he play Pooh also?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
Maybe, okay. I may be wrong there. But, no, he does, because he's done the Darth Vader stuff as Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I just want to hear
him. I just thought he's that prolific that he can do Pooh, but I didn't know he
just,
played
just
Pooh.
Just one time I want to hear Hondo say, oh, bother.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, but this one was great because you get the whole, like, the Death Star is happening. They've talked about Project Stardust.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Thrawn's over here working on his TIE Defender program. And,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of these competing projects for resources. And,
right.
You know.
Well, it's literally, we need to figure out a way to obliterate the rebellion.
Right.
Who can come up with the best idea? And it's like, Thrawn's like, well, I've got this. And Krennic's over there going, well, I've got this thing that'll blow up a planet.
So
and everybody's going, I don't know about that blowing up the planet thing.
Lars Mikkelsen as Thrawn is great. He's just so, so good. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of a little disappointed in Thrawn because he's supposed to be this like Machiavellian type. Like strategic genius, and I think we just haven't seen his plan.
We've seen that
come out enough.
We've seen that,
yeah.
But the thing about every good villain is that there's always that point where their hubris,
yeah,
bites them in the ass, and his hubris is this Phoenix Squadron,
well,
or Spectres,
yeah,
the Spectres.
Yeah, there you go. Well, in Rebel Assault, like you know, he has no hubris, and he. You know, he totally decimates. You know,
well, it's the thing where, you know, it's like we have to show that he still is as good as he is supposed to be.
Right.
But there's going to be consequences to what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's lost two of those defenders now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in a period of a week.
Yeah, and he lost the Black Hole ship.
Right.
Two of those.
Right.
He's lost a number of Star Destroyers just to X-Wings.
My thing, like, you know, because, and we could do it. Since you know, and I'm sure you've thought about it too. Predictions for the end of this series.
Sure.
You probably have a few.
I have an off the wall one, especially so in Rogue One, you hear General Syndulla,
mm-hmm.
you see the ghost, and you see Chopper.
Mm-hmm.
I think General Syndulla is Shom.
Right.
I think Hera dies.
But you're not you. I already told you this. Forces of Destiny is
canon.
I know.
I know this.
Right.
I think the story group is like, we're going to pull this twist.
Nope, because Dave Filoni runs Forces of Destiny.
Okay. All right. Well, then that one is off the table.
Yeah.
I think Ahsoka comes back as an Inquisitor.
Okay.
Mainly because of what I've been reading with the Darth Vader comics and the Inquisitor Corps.
Sure.
Kind of how they were formed. I think Ahsoka comes back. She kills Kanan. She then absconds with Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
And she's supposed to bring him back to the dark side to Vader.
Mm-hmm.
But she takes off with Ezra.
Wherever she was.
Wherever
when she
she's
gone.
Going.
Right.
And I don't think Ezra dies. As much as I would love Ezra to be Snoke, they disappear and they are fodder for books.
Snoke's a Palpatine.
They'll show up in the next, They'll show up in the next animated series.
Right.
I don't think Ahsoka dies.
Okay.
All right. Kanan dies.
Yeah.
Zeb dies. Sabine goes back to Mandalore.
Thrawn.
This is the one I struggle with because I can see them killing Thrawn,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a mistake.
Right.
Because I feel like that is the I think him sending him off to Beyond the Outer Rim,
yeah,
like they did in the Thrawn trilogy, the original one,
right,
sets up a fantastic Rian Johnson trilogy,
sure,
about Thrawn
or the heir to the Empire,
well,
with a different twist to it.
But I mean, it could be So you didn't read Thrawn yet, did you?
No.
So he talks about there's worse things out there than the Empire.
Well, sure.
And he's come to the Empire to kind of learn what they do and how they do it to bring back to the Chiss Collective or Imperative, right, whatever it's called.
Well, if they still wanted to use it, they can use the Yuuzhan Vong.
Right.
So that is something worse, you know, even though the Yuuzhan Vong to me was the Borg of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
So here's where I go.
Okay.
We know where Hera is. We know where Chopper is.
Right.
They are at the Battle of Endor, blah, blah. Hera teaches Poe how to fly an X-Wing at some point. And that. So those two are off the board altogether. They're not going to die.
So speaking of X-Wings, by the way.
Yeah.
Hera, I think I talked about this already.
Oh, yeah.
When she pulls the 4D space and flips it up under. So I have a question.
Yeah.
Better pilot, Hera or BSG Starbuck?
Probably still Starbuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Hera flying the U-Wing through the bay, going into Lightspeed and destroying that thing was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Like, I think we can pretty much agree Hera's the best pilot in the Rebellion.
Sabine's going to die.
You think Sabine's going to die? Mm-hmm. Okay. Why? And how?
Just because she's that character that you could kill and people would feel bad.
Yeah.
But it doesn't affect anything.
Well, it affects Ezra.
It affects Ezra, but it doesn't affect anything with Mando lore.
Do you think that's his push? Like, maybe she and Kanan dying is what pushes him over?
I don't think he'll go to the dark side.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, in the end...
You think it's been a giant red herring all along?
Yeah, I think that's just, you know, one of them things.
Does Ezra survive?
Ezra survives. Kanan dies. Becomes one with the Force. Not dies, but just becomes one with the Force. And I think Ezra becomes Obi-Wan on Lothal.
Hmm.
Like, he's there.
If
Hera needs him, he's there. But he doesn't want anything to do with anything because all what he wants to be is on Lothal.
Yeah, he wants to be.
And Lothal is a focal point of the Force energy.
Yeah.
Like Jeddah.
Yeah.
And that's what I think with the Wolves, that Kanan knows that his destiny is to save Lothal.
Right.
By sacrificing himself.
I have to say, the little
Thrawn,
Wolves.
Yeah. Thrawn's going to be banished.
Yeah.
Thrawn's going to past the Outer Rim.
Yeah.
With his fleet, you know, the small fleet. Governor Price goes with him.
Yeah.
And it's just that whole thing. Price took the place of, I can't remember the guy's name that was his general.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
In the original Zahn story.
In the most recent Zahn Thrawn story, he has a, second in command.
Yeah.
Eli Vanto, who is a great character, right? You should definitely listen to the audiobook for Eli.
Sure.
But Mark Thompson does a great job reading it as well. But he's sent off to the Chiss already.
Oh, okay.
Which, sorry, I spoiled it. But it doesn't ruin anything else. But, like, so I think we're both on the same page with Thrawn. I think he's going back to the...
I think the banishing thing would just be cool because then you're like, oh, hey, that's that the Hair of the Empire thing would be like a thing that you could do as a story of him returning to the period when... The First Order is wherever it is.
Well,
after again, episode 9,
with the, I guess since Force is a Destiny is canon.
Yeah,
the books are considered true canon.
Right.
I'm using air quotes there. You guys can't see it, but I used air quotes for true canon.
I think the books are more referenced, like the comic books, and the books are more referenced if they want to use something out of them.
So,
but with Force is a Destiny, where you're watching it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's canon.
Well, but everything that's happened with the First Order so far
has
been described in the Aftermath books.
Okay.
The Empire's End.
Right.
Is in particular.
Like the building of the First Order.
But Palpatine, it's his structure.
Well, sure, yeah.
You know, it's because...
it's not like when
have you seen the Star Wars Battlefront 2?
Yeah, the droid.
The droid.
Yeah.
Like, they're all over those.
Oh,
books,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
they explain that, like, in one of the videos, like, what that thing is. And it's just pretty much like speaking for the Emperor.
Yeah.
And follows his orders and that. And it's like they're programmed to think like the Emperor.
It's like the Tony Stark AI version of the Emperor. So.
And my thing with the First Order.
I think we'll see that one of those show up here at the end of Rebels.
But the First Order, it's like you already knew they were the Empire.
Yeah.
They could have just called them the Empire. They didn't have to call them the First Order. The Empire could have survived and lasted that long.
Agreed.
And it was just the whole thing where when you look at the First Order, oh, they've got stormtroopers, they've got guys dressed in black, they've got a Star Destroyer, they've got a Death Star.
So the whole like,
haven't you learned from your mistakes?
So Armitage Hux's arc is really why they're
And that's First Order. General Hux's father, right?
No, no.
Is his name Armitage?
Yeah, Armitage. Yeah, his dad is Brendel Hux.
Okay.
So sorry. So he is the. So Brendel Hux had like the breeding programs and things like that.
Sure.
And he was working on that as the Empire was falling.
Right.
And you know he hated the kid because he's a bastard.
Right.
He's like a Jon Snow.
Okay.
And so, you know, he beat him and all this stuff, and you know, kind of. Phasma and Armitage form a bond,
okay,
sort of a thing. So it's interesting. I don't know. I'm really excited to see what happens. I think Vader shows up again.
Oh, Vader's definite. Vader's a definite. I think Vader's the banishing Thrawn.
Thing, yeah,
where he'll punish him, and it's going to be the idea of that's going to take place around the same time as Rogue One.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Vader's going to be on a rampage.
Do you think we see Mustafar? Do we think maybe. Thrawn gets
Well, maybe that's
summoned.
Where Thrawn gets so, summoned and that's what that's going to be the end of that.
Like I'm pretty sure we see Krennic. If I remember from the preview.
That would be cool if we see Krennic.
I think we do. Like we've already had they mentioned him already. Yeah. But no, like they
Tarkin,
have to wrap
Tarkin
up.
And Vader are definites.
Yeah.
But I don't know about Krennic, but Tarkin and Vader are definite show-ups.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've been there already.
Do we see Sidious or the Emperor Palpatine?
I don't think so. We haven't seen him yet, so it's like why?
I mean,
why
we
now?
Didn't see him until Jedi,
right?
You know, so I mean, there were the
yeah
the lady playing him in the holograms. But
yeah, well, that was a guy,
not in the original.
Yeah, it was a guy.
Was it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I always thought it was an old lady.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know. They did introduce a character, not Kor. The bounty hunter in the last two episodes.
Rook. Yeah.
Who is like steeped in Star Wars mythology.
Well, he's from Heir to the Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just another one of those legends characters that they brought in. He is awesome, by the way.
That's Warwick Davis playing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is great to have Warwick Davis involved in.
And that was a pretty awesome, like, him and Hera fighting was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for her, like, not being a Jedi to. Take him on and yeah. pretty
and,
much
and really hold her own.
Yeah,
for the
hold
most
her
part.
Own.
And because she's not really a hand to hand fighter anyway.
Right.
You know, she's. I always think of the Fast and Furious movies where The Rock in Fast Four is like, in under no circumstances do you ever let them get behind the wheel of a car. Like that's Hera with a like you know
right.
a cockpit. You never let her get into the cockpit.
Yeah, because she's flown everything now. So. She flew the B wing. She flew the A wing. She flew the Y wing. And now she flew an X-Wing.
Yeah. And she flies the Ghost like it's a freaking fighter jet.
Well, right, yeah.
So the inertial dampeners on the Ghost have to be the greatest in the history of all starships.
Everybody's throwing up. That's why there's grates all over the floor because everybody's throwing up all the time.
So
we
I'm
just all
talk,
see that part.
Yeah. So just kind of last thing is you talked about Kanan, right?
Yeah.
The Lothwolves, which they're these creatures on Lothal that haven't been seen for 100 years.
Right.
And one shows up to Ezra.
Right.
And it says Doom.
Right.
And you think Doom, like D-O-O-M, but it's D-U-M-E.
Yeah.
Because when they meet up with Kanan, they say that. And for the first time in the series,
he tells everybody
his actual name
yeah.
is, which is Caleb Doom. And then he has this just connection with them, which was really kind of neat.
That's why I say that he's near his end.
Yeah.
Because it I know what I have to do.
I think... Prior to seeing the wolves,
well, and plus the whole thing with him and Hera, and I'm like, yeah, this will be this will be it because it's like you know, Hera and him have had a weird relationship the whole time, and you knew they loved each other.
Well, there's the book prior to this one where they first get together, where they are a couple. You know, they are in a relationship, and it's always been alluded to in the cartoon because I think the mission is what mattered.
Yeah.
But
well,
yeah.
And at that point, when they're on Lothal, I think that relationship had been over for a little bit.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where it's like, now when he's seeing that he's near his end, it's like, I have to let her know
yeah.
that I do care about her. And you know.
So I think prior to the wolves showing up, I would have probably disagreed with you about him joining the Living right. Force, because he's not that kind of Jedi.
Right.
But his story, losing his sight, losing his eyesight, I think
becoming a master.
He's yeah, and he's really communed more with the Force right. than ever before.
Because wasn't see what's the whole thing where him. When he became a master happened at the temple on Lothal?
On Lothal, right? And it was the Grand Inquisitor, right. who, you know, I dubbed the right. you know, Kanan Jarrus Jedi Knight,
right?
But yeah, without the wolves, I don't think I would have believed it,
right?
Like, I'm like, he's, you know, he's come a long way. He's just not that powerful. Like, at no point do I think he would ever be able to take.
Well, and has anybody seen the wolves except Kanan and Ezra?
Yeah, they've all, like, Sabine rode on it. They, you know, they followed the yeah. wolves through the canyons.
Right.
But, like, I never would have thought, like, of Kanan as a Jedi who could take on, you know, Obi-Wan or Anakin or Mace or right. Yoda or even stand on that level. Like, you know, even with someone like Kit Fisto.
But it'd be interesting if Vader shows up again and Kanan. But that's where now. Kanan goes.
This is where Kanan meets his end.
Yeah,
with Vader.
Kanan fights Vader for Lothal, mm-hmm. and that would be an interesting way to do that. And now, just show that, you know.
Do you disappear him? Do you ghost him like yeah. Obi-Wan?
Yeah, like literally the he goes lightsabers and just his like his armor falls
just
off.
The armor is there. Yeah, yeah that'd be
that
cool.
would be cool.
And the lightsaber, obviously.
Yeah, I think that would be a cool way to do it. Like I said, I would like to see Ezra become like an Obi-Wan on Lothal.
Yeah.
And that he's still there. And that maybe he's the DJ. Maybe yeah. he's not. Maybe
I mean, there's lots of Jedi who escaped. Not lots, but there are a number of Jedi who escaped Order 66.
Right.
Who never came back in. Now, some of them, if you read Vader, you find where they found them. They tracked yeah. them down and said, we have a new thing for you. It's called the Inquisitors,
right?
You know, and those were the ones who just kind of lacked moral fiber anyway.
Well, yeah,
so
the Quinlan Vos type yeah. characters, yeah. yeah,
so the Grand Inquisitor, you know,
right.
he
well
was,
I mean, you know, Quinlan Vos in the Dark Horse, the Legends,
right,
was always one who rode the fence,
yeah,
and it's like there was him and there was I can't remember the Tusken Raider that was a Jedi.
Oh yeah, and I mean there was the one Kree or Greek, not Kree, Kree from the Clone Wars. You know,
yeah.
who was killing clones, so like you right. know, Dooku would notice him.
Oh yeah,
that yeah. one.
Like, well, even the four armed guy in yeah. Clone Wars.
Yeah, like, that's what I was just talking about.
Oh okay.
Yeah. But I mean, even Obi-Wan skirts the line.
I think
you know?
That they all do, but there's the ones where it's like just one little thing will push them.
Yeah.
And there's the ones where it's like, I'm stronger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, Obi-Wan's proof of that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
you know, he's gone close enough. And that, I mean, emotion is a thing with Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
you attachment know, is a thing with Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
He was attached to Anakin. He was in the Clone Wars. He was attached to
Satine. Yeah.
You know, he's attached to democracy.
Right. So it's like, you know.
And the Republic.
Just the dark side is an easy yeah. easy out.
Yeah.
I mean, for Anakin, it was an easy out.
For Anakin, it was a lot about grief.
Yeah. He know? Never got over his mother dying, and it's like for Padme to die, too, was just, you know, for that character, and it's one of those things where, like I said, I would like to see Marvel do... I'd like to see Marvel do a regular What If book again.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know,
ooh,
because
Star
there's
Wars
enough. But I would like to see a what if Star Wars where, you know, you go through different processes.
Where Anakin saves his
because
mom.
Because Dark Horse did Infinities.
Yeah.
And I would like to see one where his mom still dies, but Yoda helps him through the grief process.
Oh, instead of just letting him
instead
be on
of
his
just
own.
Letting him yeah. be on his own, Yoda takes him as his apprentice and tells yeah. Obi-Wan, he's with me
yeah.
because of what happened. And it's like, for, you know, him still to love Padme, mm-hmm. still marry Padme.
Yeah.
Yoda knows that he marries Padme, but knows that there's a reason for it. That the balance of the Force
it's,
is not Anakin.
It's necessary, yeah.
It's Leia and Luke.
Yeah.
And, you know, for him to get through that grief and come out on the other end, Padme's pregnant, you know, maybe Padme does die, but he's strong enough that, you know, he takes his children.
He's there for the kids.
He takes the Emperor out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would be a cool what if.
That would be cool.
Like, to show, like, what the universe would be like if Anakin Skywalker did not become Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think tying back into Rebels, do we see Leia again?
No.
Now, we saw like Luke briefly.
We might see Leia because they've done a lot of Yavin.
Yeah.
And it would be cool. That would be a cool idea, actually, to have the whole thing where they're like, we're heading to Scarif.
Right.
And you know, a little group's heading to Lothal. But they're already on Lothal. So it's like, you know, one of those things where I don't think we'll see Yavin again.
No.
I think it's all going to be Lothal. And you know, then the ghost will be at the Battle of Scarif.
Well, but the ghost was on Yavin before.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
I mean, the ghost is on Yavin right now because she flew to Lothal and X-Wing. So they have to. They obviously.
The ghost is as much. You have to get Hera and Chopper back to Yavin.
Yeah.
You know, like I said.
The ghost is as much of a character as any of the, you know, of the characters.
Oh, and Zeb goes home.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think if
it's one of those things where Kanan does, you know, become one with the Force, and you know one of the other characters dies,
yeah,
Zeb will just be like, you know, I'm done. I'm going home.
Sure.
And that, I mean, you know, it would be that logical story conclusion for that character that his race needs him.
Yeah.
And it would be one of those things where, you know, we'll be ready if the Empire, if you need us to fight the Empire type thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, we know where Rex ends up on Endor also. Yeah,
he ends up on Endor.
Well, so. Now that they've shown that Hera was on Endor, that totally makes sense that he would have been there too, because it's like they're all just chilling on the battle frigate waiting for the, you know, Mon Mothma. Like at this point, Hera's allegiance to Mon Mothma is very strong.
Yeah.
So she would be there no matter what.
So the last thing I want to talk about here is the series finale is like super top secret where like the actors don't even know. They only know their parts.
Right. And they don't know what happens to other characters.
They don't know about like how it all works together.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think that's because they know that like Vanessa Marshall is a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
She was before she was cast as Hera. And it's one of those things where I think they're doing that as a favor to them too, because it's the fact that we don't want to ruin this story for you because when you see it, everything's going to make sense.
Yep.
And I think that happens a lot now with this season because when you see them introduced or interviewed, you know, by Andy Gutierrez on that show,
Rebels Recon.
They're
shout
all
out to A-Goots.
They're all like kind of
they're in awe of what's happening.
They're like, well, I didn't know that was going to happen, and then we see it, and it's like, yeah, okay, cool. So that's a cool idea.
Yeah. So anyway, all right.
Freddie Prinze, if you want to give us a call and let us know what happens, that would be great.
I don't want to know. I want to be surprised.
I don't know.
Another Star Wars trailer came out today, and like I got the notification from YouTube from the Star Wars channel. I was
another
like,
one?
Dismiss. It's like, just 30 seconds.
Oh, it's one of the TV ones.
Yeah, but it's like dismiss. No, thank you. I'll wait a couple weeks.
I've watched a few of them, and I'm like, you know, I don't even know what's going on at this point.
Well, they did such a good job of misdirection in the first two trailers that you know,
and they're still doing it.
And you got
Entertainment Weekly's got the like big article coming out this week with all the different covers.
Right.
And the only thing I'm like, yeah, I want to see the pictures. I want to see pictures because it's like, I want to see what's going
on.
The
costumes and that kind of
stuff.
And
with the costuming and that. And it's like, they finally show Laura Dern's character.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool.
And, you know, you think of it this way, like preview wise, it's probably about right around like 6.5 minutes of what they've shown.
Right.
It's a 2-hour and 34-minute movie.
Right.
They've shown us nothing.
We know at some point the First Order base is burning down and that, you know, we might see the death of a hero.
Bye, Finn.
Yeah.
It was nice knowing you.
Now, what's cool with Forces of Destiny, and you probably haven't watched them all.
I haven't watched them all. I've watched a bunch of them.
They have all the actors who are playing these characters.
Do the voices.
Yeah. John Boyega actually played Finn in one of them.
Okay.
And the guy that plays Han is new. I don't know that
it's not Harrison Ford, but sounds
he sounds very much like Harrison Ford. The lady that's playing Leia was the lady who played Leia on Rebels,
right?
And she's Leia in the video games now and everything else.
Wasn't
she does
she
a really good job.
In Rogue One too.
She might have done the voice.
I think she was a stand-in with the.
Oh no, that was just
a girl from
Switzerland or something. Okay. Yeah, they kind of look like Carrie Fisher.
Cool.
The cool ones are the Clone Wars actors are coming back. Like
Catherine
Tabor came back as Padme.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Did Matt Lanter come back as Anakin?
As Anakin. And Tom Kane as Yoda. So, yeah, it's like, it's really cool. And the best part of it is when you watch them, they fit right into what's going on.
Okay.
Like, at certain points, you're like, oh, yeah, that's probably how Jen Erso got arrested. And why she was in the prison.
In the prison transport.
And so, that.
I mean, I've watched.
And that's cool, too. Felicity Jones is playing Jen Erso. Sweet. Daisy Ridley's playing Rey. So.
Daisy Ridley. Sweet. All right.
The best one is like the creature that's drinking the water in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
They explain where he came from.
All right.
And it has to do with Rey. And it's like, okay, cool. But I mean, it's like, you know, of all of them, I think that's the hardest one they have to work with is where to fit stories in with Rey. Without spoiling anything. So it's like, if you watch Force Awakens and you watch the Forces of Destiny stories with her, you're like, oh, so that, and it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. It's cool. Like, you guys are really good at doing the story the way you're doing, because it's like,
who would have thought the Star Wars story group was good at their job?
Well, I mean, they're really good at their job. Yeah. Like, you know, spectacular.
All right. Well, on that note, thanks Daryl for being a Patreon supporter. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. We'll be back next week with The Punisher, maybe.
Maybe.
If you watch it, it's really easy.
Well, the bad thing was is like Netflix premiered that in Longmire on the same day, and I'm like,
well, and then freaking Runaways came out today.
Oh, is that out today?
Yeah. So, all right. All right. Well, on that note, guys, we will see you next week.
Yep. Have a good one.
Bye. The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. To stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.